Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown for the companies moving the market. Today, we're digging into Texas Instruments' second quarter 2026 results, and there's a lot going on, including a CFO transition. Before we get into it, quick note: this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
There's plenty to unpack here, Alex. TI just posted $5.5 billion in revenue, up 13% sequentially and 23% year-over-year. That's a really strong beat. They actually came in above their guided range.
Right, and it wasn't just one segment carrying the load. Analog grew 26% year-over-year, embedded processing grew 16%. Gross margin jumped 340 basis points sequentially to 61%. Operating profit was $2.3 billion, up 48% from a year ago. Net income landed at $2 billion, or $2.14 a share, and that included a nice little tax-related bonus of about 5 cents that wasn't in the original guide.
What really stands out to me is the breadth. Industrial was up around 30% year-over-year, data center literally doubled year-over-year, and automotive, which had been a laggard, suddenly accelerated to mid-teens growth. CEO Aviv Alon said it best: "This used to be an industrial and data center story, and now automotive is joining the party."
Yeah, and he had an interesting theory on why automotive picked up so fast. Inventory at customers had gotten so lean that even a small uptick in demand exposed the shortage. Combine that with EV and hybrid strength out of China, and you get this sudden inflection.
There's also a CFO changing of the guard here. Rafael Lazzardi, who's been CFO for nearly a decade, is retiring at the end of August. Julie Kinect, a 25-year TI veteran and the outgoing Chief Accounting Officer, steps in August 1st. Rafael got a nice send-off on the call. Sounded like an emotional moment for him.
Definitely bittersweet. But let's talk guidance, because that's where it gets exciting. TI guided third quarter revenue to $5.65-$6.15 billion and EPS of $2.23-$2.57. That's an above-seasonal guide, and management basically said the strength is broad-based across industrial, data center, automotive, and even personal electronics, which is typically TI's seasonal third quarter driver anyway.
One thing analysts kept probing on was pricing. Management confirmed prices were flat, stable, through the first half, which is actually notable since prices typically erode a couple points a year at TI. Now, they're starting to push through price increases customer by customer, mostly concentrated in analog for now, with embedded pricing conversations pushed more toward next year's annual negotiations. But they were clear third quarter's growth is overwhelmingly unit-driven, not price-driven.
The data center story is fascinating too. It's already doubled year-over-year, and when asked about long-term growth rates there, Aviv wouldn't pin a number on it. He framed it as, "We want to outgrow the market," pointing to their power tree and signal chain content, plus the shift toward higher voltage architectures like 800 volts, which actually creates more conversion stages and more silicon opportunity for TI.
And capacity is a big differentiator this cycle. Unlike the last upcycle, where clean room construction was the bottleneck, TI says they now have clean room space ready to go at Sherman and Richardson, plus Lehi, too, coming online by year-end. CFO commentary reinforced the 2026 CapEx guide stays at $2 to $3 billion, possibly trending toward the higher end given demand.
On the capital return side, trailing 12-month free cash flow was $6.5 billion, way up from $1.8 billion a year ago, helped in part by $1.6 billion in CHIPS Act incentives. They returned $5.8 billion to shareholders over the past year through dividends and reaffirmed the long-term framework of $8 to $9 billion free cash flow at $20 billion in revenue, scaling to $9 to $10 billion at $22 billion.
There is also an update on the Silicon Labs acquisition. Regulatory approvals are moving as planned, still expecting to close in the first half of next year, funded with cash on hand and debt.
Lead times were another interesting data point, still competitive around 13 weeks, though ticking up slightly as demand builds. Management framed that as an opportunity. When competitors quote 52-week lead times, that's when design wins start coming TI's way.
So stepping back, what does this mean for investors? You've got broad-based demand recovery across every end market, disciplined capacity investment that's finally paying off after years of clean room build-out, early signs of pricing power returning, and a leadership transition that sounds well-planned rather than disruptive. The company's clearly framing this as the early innings of a demand cycle, not a peak.
And before we close out, a reminder, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Definitely worth watching how automotive and data center trends develop through third quarter, and whether those pricing initiatives start showing up more meaningfully in the numbers by fourth quarter.
That's a wrap for today's Beta Finch. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time as we track how this upcycle plays out for TI and the broader semiconductor space.